Blog Talk Radio.
Now, PW Torch and Spreaker bring you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE Friday Night SmackDown on Fox.
Well, Javier, I don't know what's happening either, but and I don't know what it all means, to quote Michael Cole and Corey Graves at the end of SmackDown, but I'm intrigued by this. The Bloodline, the Bobby Lashley group with the Street Profits and Judgment Day all kind of staking out their territory. Now that Judgment Day are tag champs, they get to be on SmackDown in addition to Raw. The lines are being drawn in the sand. Big picture, where do you think things are headed, and are you intrigued by this, and do you like what WWE is doing to kind of set it up without giving us all the answers right away?
Well, I'm a person who's a fan of faction warfare, and that's where I started feeling by the time we got to see AJ Styles berating the Good Brothers, that I'm like, you know, there's a lot of, you know, between the, you have the Bloodlines, you have the Judgment Day, you have the AJ Styles and the Good Brothers, you have the Street Profits and Lashley.
The Good Brothers don't count. Don't ruin it with them. They're not serious. They're not serious people.
Well, I mean, the way that he berated them and stuff like that, I'm hoping that that might be, you know, get a little bit more serious, considering the fact that he's going to need backup. You know, I'm assuming, you know, as things between Judgment Day and Judgment Day. Judgment Day, Bloodline, and AJ Styles heats up, because AJ Styles is going to need backup. So I'm assuming that they're going to probably get more, you know, more of the face mask painted Good Brothers, and less the, you know, I'm Howard Finkel, you know, impression him. I dig that idea. This is what I liked when Hunter booked NXTs. I felt like there was a lot of spinning plates. You didn't always know exactly how they were going to match up, but I like it because there's a lot of potential. And the only worry I have is that when you have a lot of these groups commingling, that they're just going to give us a bunch of three-way.
That's not what I'm hoping for. How do you think it? Let's talk about it from the Bloodline perspective. You've got Jimmy wanting to get back in. You have Roman Reigns taking time away, but still present in terms of the conversation and Paul Heyman phone calls. You've got Solo, you got Heyman. You have Jay over on Raw, kind of doing his own thing, separate at least for now. What does this mean for the Bloodline, Javier? Like, what is it, turning the babyface? Is it creating a chance for WWE to see who the fans want to side with and play it by ear? It seems like Damian Priest holding Money in the Bank and now being able to be on SmackDown brings him into the, I mean, if they do like Reigns versus Lashley with Priest hanging out with the briefcase, there's options there now. Not that they weren't there before, but you can actually have Priest on TV hinting at it and sort of being a presence interacting with Solo and Heyman.
Yeah, and don't forget also the looming specter of whoever from Raw is coming over too.
I know, yeah.
So that's the thing. It's like right now we're in a spot with a lot of potential as far as the, you know, Bloodline. I think they're just, you know, it's obviously cooled down now because you had some heavy storylines for a while, and this is like a nice break to see, other groups outside kind of bubble up, you know, to see how they match up. It's just, there were so many teases because they're teases with the Bloodline, with the Judgment Day getting involved with the Bloodline. So, and then you have like, you know, a lot of questions with Jimmy Uso and Solo Sikoa. Are they going to, you know, unite? I think ultimately they probably end up doing that at least for a bit. I don't know, you know, maybe that they're going to be using, Jimmy, you know, and, you know, manipulating him more overtly, at least to us, you know, for the time being. But, you know, it maybe lead to an eventual, you know, Jimmy also finally, you know, growing an actual backbone and then, you know, striking up on his own or, you know, the other possibility is they continue splitting them off bit by bit. I don't think they're going to have like the Bloodline as a whole is going to have a face turn until Reigns loses the title to Cody. I think that that's way too much of a what they're planning for WrestleMania. But by the, I think at some point, between now and next year, if you know, have them broken up and then them getting together as baby faces would be like the crowd popped. You slowly turn Reigns into a baby face, and then he gets in trouble that he can't handle. And then in comes the brothers that he basically kicked to the side. That family's, these are just spitballing. Lots of potential there.
To elaborate a little bit on how you think the integrity of Jimmy's character, just comment on the integrity of Jimmy Uso's character in his up and down journey, especially now as it relates to who's left, Heyman, Solo, and Reigns. Are you content with this? Does it feel like they're just arbitrarily just kind of directing him where they need him storyline-wise? Or is this for you a logical and compelling and believable, true to Jimmy's character decision for him to start kind of acting a little bit like Sammy? Will you have me back all of a sudden?
Yeah, because for me it is. Because obviously it's going to be what you said there where, they're putting him where they need him. The two of them are going to end up being hand in hand. Ultimately, the idea is not whether I would do what Jimmy did or I support what Jimmy did, but, you said it, his character. Do I believe what his character would do this? And Jimmy's been someone who we've seen does not have a strong moral core, seeing as though he first started off, against Roman Reigns, which they mentioned today on commentary, that, he was the first one to try to get Jay out of the situation. And then eventually he kind of just goes where it's easiest for him, where I think if I were to psychoanalyze him, that he doesn't want to make the decisions ultimately. He kind of is, he's kind of codependent. And now he doesn't have his brother, because I think his idea when he turned on Reigns was that he was going to go with his brother, and I think he legitimately thought that he was doing his brother a favor there. Might not necessarily be something, you would agree with yourself personally, but important thing is that if he truly believed that, and then all of a sudden he sees his brother, turn, and he's like, okay, well, I'm lost. What am I going to do? I had a good thing with Roman, so maybe I should get back into that. So you could tell, because going back to the previous week, I was thinking, he was acting rather strange, the way that he was kind of like standoffish and kind of like, being kind of rude, like if nobody was there. And now he feels like he has an anchor, if he could get back into what this means with him going forward. If you're going to build up his character, he's eventually going to have to grow a spine, grow an actual real personality, grow a, the testicular fortitude, I guess. And, a moral core too. So I think that, and I trust that they know what they're doing with their characters, that's eventually what you would hope for him. Either that, or he becomes completely corrupted to the dark side and joins, Reigns like wholeheartedly and reinforces a true loyalty instead of like, hey, he was feeding me good.
And if that happens, are you okay with it? Like either of those options, I guess they're sort of an array, but the main two options are both consistent as you look back at the journey Jimmy's been on, both are can be told in a satisfying way that doesn't feel arbitrary.
Yeah. Because right now I would describe him as someone who's empty.
Yeah.
So I'm
with you on that. I'd like you to reinforce some of my thoughts and as I press you on it, because I do think Jimmy has been, an empty soul. And I mean, the idea that he was, fighting against Jay, being the chosen one privately, and that he just does. It would be hard now to imagine cheering for him. And I know this is pro wrestling, but at some point, and I actually think it's a good contrast for Jay. If Jimmy is like, hey, please take me back. I'm not out until Reigns says I'm out. So that means I'm in, let me in. It's kind of pathetic, and it makes it easier to boo him. But it makes it very difficult to imagine, well, if Reigns and Heyman and Solo reject him, why would we want to cheer him? It's the old Seth Rollins thing with the Authority. If they don't want him, now you want us to cheer you because the Authority dumped you? That kind of go-to example. I don't want that with Jimmy. So put him in the bloodline and tell a longer-term story. A year from now, yeah, Jimmy can be anything he wants. We can go on a longer journey. Short-term, no way. You can't cheer this guy after all that we've learned about him and how he's acting now.
Yeah, you need to make sure that he starts building up some sympathy, which is what happened with Sami Zayn. Because Sami Zayn was a joke. He wanted to be, you know, in. But then when you saw that once he showed the audience that he was being, misguided in who he was trying to join up with, that he was being, what's the word I'm looking for, honest, earnest, that the crowd felt sympathy for him, and that's kind of what you need, you know, what you would need with Jimmy if that's the direction you're going to go. You could also tease that direction, and then, you know, no, he falls to the dark side, you know, like, you know, it's like what Star Wars is about, the corruption, that kind of thing. But
I haven't seen it yet, so no spoilers.
but that was kind of the the danger with this kind of storyline, though, is if it requires investment for the audience, and if you're no longer invested in the story, it comes across as more he's listless and we don't know what we're doing with him.
Yeah.
Seeing in social media where you know what I've seen, people like saying, oh, we're tired of the Bloodline story. So if you're kind of like already in that mindset and you don't want to, see what this chapter is. There's a reason why some shows don't go on forever, telling the same story because, you know, the people get, jaded. I trust the people, the brain trust behind what they're doing and, excited to see Jimmy get, the spotlight. When I saw him, where it kind of felt that they threw him to AJ Styles, I thought that maybe they were just not going to – it was going to be a little bit harder split for the Bloodline for the time being. But, you know, obviously how the show ended, I think, you know, it looks like we are in for the Jimmy part of the storyline now.
All right, very good. Let's pause and introduce the show, introduce ourselves. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show for Friday, September 8th, 2023. I'm Wade Keller, the host of the show, the editor, publisher, and founder of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, the website pwtorch.com, and various podcasts, including The Fix with Todd Martin, which yesterday was simulcast as this week's flagship. We opened with some CM Punk talk and then got into the week of happenings on television and news stories. Check it out if you haven't yet. That's our Blue Logo Show. Search Wade Keller in your podcast app. Subscribe to the Blue Logo Show. This is our Red Logo Show, our post show, following Raw, Dynamite, SmackDown, and Collision. I'll be by tomorrow night after Collision with another live show, so hopefully you can join us for that also, either live at right after the show ends or just download the show later that night or over the next few days and check out what we have to say about what should be a big episode of Collision. No CM Punk and AEW trying to pivot, and we'll start to see what the identity of that show is going to be. Now that there's been a shakeup on that roster. But we're here to talk SmackDown. And when I say we, that includes the other voice you've heard on the show so far, Javier Machado from pwtorch.com. Javier, welcome back to the co-host chair here with me.
Hey, Wade. Normally I'd say it's awesome, but Todd did tell me the stuff that you said about me on the Payback pre-show, so kind of hurt. Disappointed, you know, really sad you compared me to Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, since I know how you feel about him.
I don't know what Todd told you, but if it made you look bad, it can't be true.
Don't worry, Wade, it's all good.
There you go. Oh man. All right. Let's give out the phone number and email if you want to join the conversation tonight. Consider yourself invited. The number is 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558. When you call, push 1. That flags you on the switchboard, so we know you want to be on the show. You can also email the show, WadeKellerPodcast@pwtorch.com. That's WadeKellerPodcast@pwtorch.com. All right, let's get back to our conversation about SmackDown tonight, but we'll let callers lead the way for a while here. And we will begin with Mark in New York. in Westchester, New York. Mark, welcome to the show. What are your thoughts on SmackDown tonight?
Hey, Wade. Hey, wow, blinked out on who the host was. It's
Javier.
Javier, yes, yes. So I was about to say how much I appreciate Javier, and that there's not been many things that have good that have come out of the pandemic, but him being a part of the shows is one of them, and I just totally blanked out on his name. I apologize, Javier.
That's okay. That's okay, Marty.
Yeah. If it makes you feel better, I'm currently – I was sitting in the dark. I'm in New York. We had bad thunderstorms. I lost power until, like, about 9:30. So I was just kind of, like, sitting in the dark for, you know, 2 hours before I saw the last half hour of SmackDown. So, you know, it's one of those nights.
I like thunderstorms, but not when they're severe enough to take away power in the middle of a wrestling show. So, Mark, what do you think about SmackDown?
So, like I said, I was sitting in the dark for a while, so I kind of got, like, an interesting view on SmackDown. So my fiance went away for the weekend, and I was really excited to watch SmackDown, but I only saw the last half hour. And it really – the whole Jimmy Uso thing isn't really doing much for me. I don't think it's as strong as the storyline that was going on with Jay. But maybe that's just me, and I don't know. But I was just curious if there was anything I should go back and watch from the first hour and a half, what do you think it should be?
Javier. Okay, I'll jump in. L.A. Knight and Paul Heyman, Crossing Paths.
Yes, yes.
Short, but newsworthy. A hint of maybe things to come, certainly if you're an L.A. Knight fan. You got to be optimistic about that. Thinking and LA Knight held his own. Looked like he belonged in the picture with Paul Heyman. I think there are doubters about LA Knight, whether he is going to have the gravitas beyond the catchphrases and the bravado, and can he do the more subtle stuff, the more human stuff. He slipped on a landing in the match. It just seems like, you know, that's going to happen. Every match there's just a little something that goes wrong. I just don't think that should in any way come close to overriding the fact that other than Dom, he's getting the biggest reactions and he's getting the opposite reactions of Dom in a way that isn't always easy for WWE to achieve. I mean, he's mega over and they're going to make some money off of him and he's going to make some money doing it. And I don't think they should be super worried about whether 9 months from now he's still this over. I think what they should be worried about is moving in a direction of putting him in a big position. And Javier, what did you think of that moment with Heyman and Knight, and how do you think Knight did? Do you agree with me? He, rose the occasion or met the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. He basically, the moment I crossed paths with Heyman, was like, okay, yeah, for sure we're, you know, there've been rumors online talking about that, you know, he was in, you know, now he's in line for a mega push because I think something that was holding back was, I don't think he had signed, you know, re-signed yet or something along those lines. I didn't delve too deep into that, but you know that, you know, now he's in line for that. They're going to give him a mega push. I've heard that he's listed as the number one babyface on their death roster on SmackDown. So seeing him just cross paths with Heyman, he's still involved with the whole thing with the Miz going on. Might still be involved with some of the stuff with Waller and stuff. But that was a signposting of saying, yeah, we're going to get to this at some point because you're not going to have him cross paths with Heyman. Without him eventually going face to face with the Bloodline and Roman Reigns.
The crowd reaction for Knight, there's the Heyman moment, but when he was in the ring and just held the mic out and the crowd was just cheering for him. I mean, people are into him, and yes, it's very Stone Cold in his demeanor and his cadence and his tone. And yes, it's very Rock when he winds up and does the you know, half-hearted elbow that doesn't look that special, but boy, the wind-up is cool and the crowd's into it. I mean, who cares? The crowd's into it. Like, if the consumers are into what you're doing, don't try to talk them out of it. Lean into it, and that's what they're doing. So, yeah, Mark, that's what jumped out to me. That was my first thought.
Okay, I will definitely go and check that out. I will say also the first thing that I did see when I turned on SmackDown was a scene of the Good Brothers and Mia Yim in the back And I had to check to make sure I was looking at the right thing because it looked exactly like a scene from last week. And it was just like, hey, AJ Styles is going to fight someone in the main event. And I was so confused because that exact same scene happened last week. And I had to make sure I was looking at the right recording. This isn't really SmackDown related, but as I was sitting in the dark, did you guys watch the Kurt Angle documentary on Peacock yet?
I haven't seen it yet, and I am interested in this one. Javier, how about you?
No, I haven't watched it.
Yeah. Sorry, Mark.
So
I still got to see the Cody Rhodes one.
The Cody one is actually pretty good. I made my fiance hates Cody Rhodes, mainly because of the tattoo, but I made her sit down and watch that, and she was actually like, oh, okay, he's not that bad. as I had no power, I watched like half of the Kurt Angle one. I thought it was, from what I saw, it was actually really good, so I would recommend watching that. And that's all I have today. Like I said, I missed most of SmackDown. I'll have to go back and try to watch it, but you guys have a good night. I'll listen on to see what happened for the rest of the show.
Great. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the kind words.
Oh, sorry, Mark. I cut you off too early there. Javier said thanks for the kind words. What did you say, Mark?
I said thank you, Javier, and I'm sorry I forgot your name.
Don't worry, it's all good.
All right, have a good night.
Good night. Good night. All right. Up next, we'll go to Joe New York. Joe, welcome to the show. What's in your mind about SmackDown tonight?
Yes, I didn't think it was a very good show. I thought it was very flat. And I think it's just a continuation of what WWE really is. I mean, people are getting excited saying that the show is improved and everything. I don't see that. I see a lack of stars at the top of the card. You got a champion who sits home, and they rave about his 1,100 days. He's defended the title one time against a tag team guy since WrestleMania. What's going on here? It's a flat show with a lack of stars.
So, Joe, I'll push back in the sense that you've got LA Knight, who is an emerging star, and I think one of the more exciting things in wrestling,
yes,
whether he's
yes.
42 or 22 or 32. When you have that kind of crowd reaction, it's exciting to see someone on an upward trajectory on a journey.
Yes,
and that's what we have here with him.
He is 100%, but the company is doing it half-heartedly. They don't want to do it. They're pushing him the same way they pushed Daniel Bryan after he won the title. They're not really. They don't want to do it. They're doing it because they have really no choice to do it. I mean, they're not getting behind him. They're not going to give him the kind of booking he needs to go up the roster. They're just not. They don't have the kind of patience and consistency. And be honest with you, they don't have the roster for him to go through to get to the top. They don't have
main events. Javier, let me pause you, and I want to throw to Javier on that. Does Joe have a point that this is similar to the Daniel Bryan situation with LA Knight? Do you think they're showing they learned a lesson from that? Do you think that maybe with Knight there was reason where with different kinds of reasons, but there were sort of reasons they were nervous about Daniel Bryan, but they're moving past it quicker, it seems. Like, how do you evaluate that comparison?
If Vince were, like, completely in charge, I would think more along those lines. But the fact that it's the Heyman thing. I mean, that was, like, the biggest signpost you're waiting for. Not only that, but the fact that he beat Austin Theory cleanly. I do agree that doesn't have like a lot of, you know, foils to defeat, to climb up the, to start climbing up the ladder, which I think is indicative of the fact that he is facing The Miz, which that's his current, you know, who's someone on Raw. And I wouldn't be surprised if he starts having to mix it up with somebody over in a Judgment Day or before he moves up. So I had mentioned a while ago that I thought that try to get him over to Raw because I think there's a lot more fertile ground for him to really build up more over there. But I do think that I don't think they're going to, you know, they're not going to push him to, like, Roman Reigns levels, but, you know, they do have him listed high, and I think they showed a lot today on we're going to start getting behind him. Now, today it felt more like a setting of stuff. So, yeah, today was, you know, it was, putting the puzzle pieces into place before we actually, you know, moving towards whatever the next PLE or pay-per-view is.
All right, Joe, back to you. I'd say besides, you know, you're framing it as they don't have a lot of big stars, I was going to say not only LA Knight, but I also think Judgment Day arriving are over. I think Bobby Lashley with the Street Profits are showing that they're over. AJ Styles gets good reactions, and they're kind of revving him up a little bit. The women's division, Scott, you know, Bianca Belair's gone for a little while, but Charlotte's out there doing her thing with Bayley and Asuka. I'm not nodding along to your general assessment of that. Now, I do think you made a prior point, which is about Roman Reigns not defending the title very much. And, I mean, I'll throw it to Javier again. Is that becoming a problem, or is it sort of almost indicative of, hey, Reigns has the clout to defend when he wants and disappear when he wants, and absence makes the heart grow fonder and makes the star seem brighter? Or is it getting to a point where there might be some kind of negative resentment of him being an absentee centerpiece act?
Yeah, I thought that this was going to be a problem way back, and I'm surprised it's taken this long, and I think it mainly has taken this long because he had been showing up like almost like every other week. So you had one week where it was, you know, what is Reigns thinking, followed by a week of like you find out what Reigns was thinking. So that kind of kept the momentum of the Reigns storyline going on. But yeah, I mean, now we're he's been off for a bunch of weeks. Now we're getting into the point with, you know, how when Lesnar was champion, where, you know, he didn't show up for like 3 months at a time before the big, you know, Saudi shows or the big pay-per-views started coming up. And then that's when he would show up and like even then, you know, intermittently. Now that we're in a slower period where, you know, I think that that does hurt to a certain extent. And also, I mean, it feels like half of the roster on SmackDown are younger wrestlers who are currently, like, being developed. And, you know, the way I feel about the actual show, particularly today, not that it doesn't feel stagnant like it has in the past. It just feels like there's potential there. A lot of potential storylines that look there like there might be able to start popping off, and you know I have hopes that you know they will get everything moving as we approach. I don't even know right now what the next PLE is, but as we start approaching that, I think we're going to start seeing a lot more solidify, particularly with like the new Hurt Bits business and some of the new factions that they've been slowly introducing.
Well.
The
1.5 ratings are coming because Monday Night Football is coming back, and the 1.5 is going to be showing up on the Raw rating. And as far as Roman goes, they have no long plan for him. The big plan is to give you a rerun from WrestleMania 39. Think about that. WrestleMania 40, which is a landmark mania, it's a 40. Their big main event, the plan subject to change, right now, it's to give you a rematch to a match that they should have flipped the other way. I mean, the guy defended the title one time since WrestleMania. That's a problem. It's actually disrespectful to the guys like Stone Cold and The Rock, who actually had to show up every week because the company was really fighting and, you know, had to fight back then and compete. And now you got a champion that's just not there.
Well, it's for all we know, Roman Reigns has said to Paul Levesque and Vince McMahon and everybody, hey, I don't think I should be champion because I am not working a lot of dates. And it's totally his prerogative, as is any wrestler's, to spend more time with their kids or their family or just taking R&R. Roman Reigns has enough money to live off of the rest of his life and support an extended family. So if he wants less travel and fewer dates, more power to him. If he says, well, the only way that I'll stay is if you keep me champion, well, then that's a problem. But I don't know that that's any – I don't think that's something he would say. So I'm just saying let's not put the heat on Roman because
no,
he doesn't
putting
work
on,
the
I'm not
hours
putting
he
on him at all. No, yeah. I'm not putting it on
so,
him
but
at all.
But people
I
do.
Put it, put it on the company because they gave him the contract, which is ridiculous. Or at least don't make him the champion, because that you make your champion mean a lot less. If they had taken the title off him at 39, right, that would have been a historic reign, because he was around enough where you could justify it. But this year, no, it's unacceptable. I can't count the days anymore because the guy doesn't show up at all. And it's not his fault. It's the company's fault.
Javier, anything you want to add to that?
Well, I mean, the only thing I will counter also is yeah, he hasn't defended the title, but he was involved in the, on a high level when he was involved with the whole tag team situation, and it was the A story. It just happened to be involving multiple people, and so he wasn't defending the title. But it was still the A story, and what everyone, the people who are tuning in were tuning in to see that. So, I wouldn't put, just the fact that, he's only defended it, a small amount of time since WrestleMania on that. Now, I do think that, I don't need like a huge number of defenses, but you could throw a bone over here now and then. Because one thing is Seth Rollins defending it on every pay-per-view, and then someone defending it, he should at least defend, I would say, four times a year, basically, at least.
Yeah, four or five times
a year. Oh, yeah.
You know, definitely. That would, at least, then you're doing Hulk Hogan back in the 80s. But at least back then, they didn't have primetime television for four hours a week. And, one more thing.
Yeah.
I'll let you guys go. I know you guys got a lot of calls. But, you realize one thing. If CM Punk was ever to come back, he goes right back into the top five, top seven guys, because they just don't have people at the top.
Javier, anything you want to add?
Please don't. Punk, I felt like.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't think he's going to go back there, but it's just, just that he's a name. He's a name.
No, he'll be on top, man. There are a couple of people like Brock Lesnar, that when they'll come up, they'll, John Cena, I think John Cena's probably going to, consider the fact he's going to be here next week. He's probably going to be doing some heavy lifting too, I think.
Yeah.
I'm
curious where it all shakes up. Yeah, thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. What do you think they end up doing with John Cena, Javier?
You've got the stuff with Grayson Waller because he's going to be on that show. I actually had an actual inspiration earlier, but it has escaped me, and I'm just, running my mouth, trying to hope and see if it pops in, but it doesn't.
fair enough. It'll come
if
back.
If it shows up, exactly. If it comes up, yeah. I think it's Grayson Waller, and there was one opponent which I'd like. Oh, yeah, it's probably this guy. Who knows? Maybe it is whoever is coming over from Raw.
Yeah,
that's the other possibility. It's just,
So who's on your short list, and how short is that list?
Of the people coming over, or for
who's
people coming over? One of them was Cody Rhodes. Rhodes, manipulated things to get himself in the same brand as Roman Reigns, so that he could go after the belt. It kind of feels soon. That was one possibility. I also have Drew McIntyre as a way to because on Raw, I think there was like an exchange between that Drew had about Jay unhappy that Jay was around because they have bad blood since the Bloodline cost him his championship match. So, maybe he's the one, since they're, that he was somewhat attached to that. Those were my top two, and I will think.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I'm intrigued by it. There's a lot of moving parts right now, and things feel kind of fresh for the fall, but also unsettled or unclear at this point. All right, our phone number is 347-215-8558. That's 347-215-8558. Give us a call and push 1 if you want to be part of the show, like Grant in Detroit has done. Grant, welcome to the show. What's on your mind about SmackDown tonight? Let's make sure I brought the right person on. Yeah, Grant, this is you. Can you hear us, Grant? Can you hear me, Javier? I should check on that.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
good. All right, we'll check back with Grant in a moment. We'll go to Kyle in Baltimore next. Kyle, welcome to the show. Good to talk to you again. Feels like it's been a little while. What's on your mind tonight?
I don't want to start with. I don't know. Start with this. Okay, I'll start with this. The whole Bloodline stuff storyline right now. I feel like it's such a, it's all over the place to me. I feel like it's like, I don't know what direction they're going in, because you know Roman's not going to be around for a long time. Probably not until Survivor Series in November, at November itself. So for tonight with AJ and Jimmy Uso was. It was the match was like it was just a match to me. It felt like a main event. It felt like I was going into tonight seeing how will Jimmy Uso will frame himself as this top heel on Raw now that Jay is over on SmackDown and on Raw because Jay to me feels like the most important Uso right now because of the fact that I've seen more of Jay throughout the last three years since 2020 and for Jimmy it's been kind of. Yeah, so for me, I don't know where they're going with the storyline, with this whole Bloodline storyline, what they're going for. But with Roman not being there and for this long period of time, how can they keep this story interesting enough for, at least for me, to get me all invested into whatever Jimmy is going to be doing even solo? It feels like it's just such a, they're just going in circles. They don't know where it's going because they're just in a holding pattern for something. I don't know. So where is this going in the long term, at least for the next couple of months or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, the timing of Roman's return counts. You've got – I mean, the thing with Roman being gone is I think they've made the Bloodline – the other members of the Bloodline – well, they haven't made them. They just are. Solo's compelling. Paul Heyman is you know, at the top of his game once again. I mean, whatever. I mean, he's doing great work. You know, Jimmy, as we talked about earlier in the show, a compelling character with a connection and history with the fans. And then seeing the Judgment Day show up, seeing Lashley with the Street Profits, maybe Cody shows up and you know, shifts the balance a little bit or I don't know, shifting the balance is the right word, but changes the landscape in a significant way. I don't know where it's headed because I think we're at the beginning of a lot of pieces that are going to fall into place, but it's not obvious, and I like that. I mean, I'm not against certain things being predictable and watching them happen, but this is a really unpredictable moment because it isn't clear who fans are going to side with or if WWE is going to steer us in a certain direction. You know, what Solo did to Styles wasn't hinting at a babyface turn. The way Heyman interacted with the Knight seems more like they're going to be against the most popular wrestler, not for him. If Cody is brought over to SmackDown, does that hurt LA Knight in terms of giving him breathing space? There's just a lot of things that I don't have the answer to, Kyle. And I think 3 weeks from now, we're going to know a lot more. And I kind of like that. You know, I like not knowing where we're going to be in 3 weeks. Javier, do you have a more precise answer or anything you want to add to that?
I was just looking at when we're likely to see Roman again to start speed things up. I think probably Fastlane's the next PLE, October 7th, and then after that's going to be the Saudi show. I'm assuming he's likely going to be highlighting that, so I'm thinking sometime around October 7th. So we're probably not going to be seeing him for, like, mostly for the rest of the month, so because I doubt he's going to be in Fastlane. That's going to be a while. That's why I'm leaning towards Drew coming over and then going through a heel turn so he becomes the number one heel on that brand. In the meantime, scuttlebutt's been that they're expecting the Judgment Day to do a lot of heavy lifting, and I think the undisputed tag titles is their way of getting them on both brands so they can do that heavy lifting.
All right, I'll call back to you.
Man, I'm all in favor in that. I really like the Jose itself, you know, Balor and Priest and Rhea for me and on day three. I don't care much about that, but I never did, but he's fine for being in the group. But for for Priest and Balor to be a champion, I love it. I was shocked when they won those titles at Payback. I did not expect that at all. But I'm glad that they won, and now that that's for them being on SmackDown as well. I mean, they came face to face with Lashley and the Street Profits. I was so interested in that. I was like, I want to see that. You know, with Bobby Lashley too, with him and with the Street Profits, I am invested in whatever them three are doing. You know, they kind of tease this little theme with the. Well, no, it actually was it wasn't even Judge Day, it was someone else that they were teasing. But this little thing that they did between the Judgment Day and Bobby Lashley, and Lashley and Priest came face to face, I was like, oh yeah, I want to see that match. So what do you think about that, and what do you think that's going with these two factions moving forward?
Well, it seems like, you know, you talk about if Cody were to come over, Javier. You have LA Knight super popular. The crowd's cheering Lashley. They might be steering that group more towards being a babyface group at this point when they initially were framing them or seeming to be framing them as heels. That does support bringing Drew over because Drew then balances things out a little bit more as opposed to adding – I mean, if Drew stays babyface, it doesn't balance things out. But if it's part of a heel move for him, although – yeah, him going heel seems more Raw-oriented, so it'd be kind of weird for him to show up on SmackDown without Riddle and not have a chance to turn on Riddle. So I don't really know how that plays out. But back to Kyle's point. I mean, Lashley and Priest. Priest is a heel. Lashley as a face. Maybe Balor and Dom against the Street Profits, or maybe it's just Priest and Balor against the Street Profits in a tag team title feud with, you know, the heel face thing being basically the fans' choice, which would be cheering Lashley and the Profits. Javier, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I did, speaking of signposting, having Priest being the one that was face-to-face with Lashley was also telling, because Lashley, you know, my feeling is that they're high on him. Because, you know, he's always booked, he's always been booked strong since he came back for the most part, you know, with the Hurt Business and all that stuff. But so the fact that that was where the camera was lingering, I think that eventually – I do think that it's likely going to end up being a at first a tag team thing between Judgment Day and the Street Profits, which will eventually probably evolve into a one-on-one with Lashley and Damian Priest. And it could be one of those matches where they put up the cases on the line. That one of those, to, you know, just to, you know, use the case for something.
Yeah. All right. Kyle, what else?
So I also want to transition to EO and her title run so far, and how kind of a little disappointed I've been somewhat with EO's title run. She's kind of feels like she's all over the place. And you have her and Bayley going after Shotzi, and it's like. Here and there. Now, now she's going to be defending the title against Asuka in 2 weeks, or two or three weeks. So you go, either one of those two. And so with that, and with that, I'm like, okay, I feel like EO just seems like she's not she doesn't feel important as a champion, and I don't know why that is. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like she's like, it's kind of like the same position as Rhea. Someone, even though Rhea is on TV and she's seen more part of Judgment Day, her title run has been kind of flat as well. So. I think for EO, I think it makes it even worse because EO can't really speak English and can't really cut promos. So because of that, what are they planning on doing with EO's title run moving forward now that, you know, that because so this with this thing with Asuka, now that, you know, Charlotte is nowhere to be found. She's taking the time off and also Bianca. So now in the meantime, with EO and Asuka, how is this going to transpire? What do you think, is going to happen with EO's run moving forward with this all that stuff? So yeah.
Yeah. Javier, what do you think about what they did? We haven't talked about it yet. With Bayley and all of Damage Control, and then you had Asuka showing up and cutting a promo and setting up a match with EO and having a little face-off with her. I mean, yeah, right now with EO Sky as a champion, it doesn't – I mean, it's not a top-tier – star in the female division. I'm trying to figure out how to phrase it because she's very good. You know, you want to see her matches. I'm not against her being champion, but it doesn't have the same feeling that of Roman or Seth, or if it's Becky or Bianca, in part because of the language barrier and some of the limitations there. How do you think they're doing with that? And do you feel similar to Kyle in that it's disappointing when the women's title doesn't feel bigger than it maybe currently does.
Yeah, definitely, because today Bayley and Io versus Charlotte and Shotzi, Bayley's the one that feels the most important in that. Mm-hmm. So even damage control, and I think they're cognizant of that because in commentary they did mention they were talking about Bayley being the leader of damage control, and I forgot who brought up and goes, well, you know, Io's the champion. I think that might make her the leader, but she does seem like she's a hanger on to Bayley, and I don't think that's a good look for the championship. I think they should have pushed more on that. They were kind of teasing a breakup sort of thing, but I do think that they should do more to establish her as the alpha in that group while she holds the title. I am looking forward to a one-on-one between Asuka and Io. So from a work rate point of view. But, yeah, as far as, like, what the title means, Io just feels like a transitional champion. I kind of wish that weren't the case, but, yeah.
Yeah. Kyle, anything else for us? I wasn't quite sure if you're signing off or not.
So I guess my final thing would just, I guess, match it. I know that Ray wasn't on tonight for SmackDown, but, you know, with him as champion, he's coming off his thing with Theory and Grayson Waller as a tag team, actually a cool fit. Actually can see them as tag team champions at some point in the future. They just work, for some reason, they just work well together. But for Ray himself, I know he wasn't on tonight, but for him, for his next challenger, you know, he thinks it's going to be next for Ray, even though, and the rest of the LWO and Zelina Vega, we think they're going to be doing moving forward after his win over Grayson Waller, or Austin Theory. I think where does Ray and the rest of LWO are going to be going moving forward, but I think that's all I have. Thanks for the call.
Great, thanks, Tom. Javier, any thoughts on that?
I mean, I've heard that I keep hearing rumors about them, wanting to build up the LWO, despite we never see the tag team, whose name escapes me, because we barely see them, and we only see Santos Escobar and Ray and why can't Trinidad? Why can't I not remember her stage name? Selena Vega. There we go. But I would. They kind of dropped the kind of hint that there might, be a turn maybe from Escobar, because they didn't bring that whole thing up, but I don't know, we're friends, but usually, in wrestling world, that means that there's going to be a breakup there. Does that mean they're going to turn the LWO heel? There's merchandising to also, think about there. Or not for me. I wouldn't do it that way. But they would think about merchandising that in that respect. I have heard that. I don't know if you want me to say, Wade, because you don't like spoilers from like contract and people.
Whatever. Go ahead.
Carlito's out there because there are rumors that he's been signed. They don't know what they want him to do.
Right.
I mean, if Santos turns, I can see Carlito be the one who's responsible for it, and he'd mm-hmm. be part of the LWO. So that's a possibility. And I'd like to see Carlito. I mean, it's a shame because it was really hyped after they had the Puerto Rico show, and now it's kind of died down.
Totally.
You know what I mean? If you tie them up with, if you are going to expand the LWO, and even you just expand it as like just add more members, and then just he could be one of them, and then eventually there'll be Strife or anything or something there. And I also have the question like when Mysterio is going to finally call it quits, because I'm pretty sure that's not too far off, and it'll probably be when they blow off the thing with his son.
All right, very good. We'll roll through here to our next call. We'll go to Brad in Florida. Brad, thanks for calling. Thanks for holding. What's on your mind about SmackDown tonight?
Hey, guys. If I told you, like, 14 months ago, if I told you the biggest stars on an episode of SmackDown were going to be Dominic Mysterio and LA Knight, you'd probably say, there's no way in the world. But that's really the truth. I mean, I felt like tonight's episode was, especially for Boston, like, I always feel like they like to make a big splash in these big cities. I feel like it was one of the least consequential episodes of the year. I felt like it was very
you know, lackluster, I guess. And amazingly, SmackDown to me tonight felt like it was lacking star power. I mean, it really did. I mean, I understand Roman's not there, and I understand, but it just felt different tonight. It felt like they were missing something big, and they need that trade in a bad way. I mean, obviously you didn't have Cena tonight because of the India show, right? But, you know, he's a temporary solution anyway. I mean, you need something big, and that's why I think when I'm looking at the show tonight, I'm saying they really need a Cody Rhodes to come over. I mean, just the impression I got from it tonight, man, like you said about Io, Io's a terrific wrestler. She's great. She's got everything you'd want. But in a lot of ways, you know, like that stare down between Asuka and Io, it's not going to get the crowd excited. Like, you know, no offense. It's just not what they're looking for, you know? And I just feel like it was lacking tonight.
So Joe brought up a similar point earlier, and I kind of, you know, ran down a few of the names that I felt made up for not having a Roman or a Cody or a Seth. And I think when you have somebody as over as LA Knight, you give him the time you did on the mic and in the ring. Charlotte Flair's a big star. You opened with her ring entrance. AJ Styles is reliable, but I get what you're saying about it not feeling like a huge show with him there. But Heyman and Solo are weaved in, you know, into the show in various places. And you have Jimmy Uso, and the Usos are over. You have kind of Roman Reigns is gone, but he's there in spirit. I mean, they're, you know, they found a way, you know, Heyman calls him every week right in front of us. Like, it's not like they're just forgotten about him or don't talk about him. And then you have the Judgment Day adding star power to the show. They've been the carrying Raw, you know, like along with, you know, Cody and a couple others, but they have been centerpiece stars. You got Dom getting booed out of the building. You got Priest and Balor having a nice, lengthy, hard-hitting match with Butch and Ridge Holland. I mean, I think if you're WWE and you sit down and you put the show together, I think you can stand by it and say, you know what, we got enough star power on here because LA Knight's over and Grayson and Austin Theory are a fresh duo and Grayson is new to the act and we're giving someone who can talk more mic time. I think they came through enough. I'm not saying like I don't understand why you have that impression, but to me this was you know more than satisfactory, but it was more ensemble than like okay we're just waiting around for the big Roman Reigns appearance. Javier, how would you frame it?
I mean, similar to that, it's just it really feels like the calm before the storm. And the thing is that this. I mean, I expected this after SummerSlam because SummerSlam kind of like it's always been the time that starts dragging. You know, you do have the Saudi show that they start building up to, and then you had the. Usually around this time would have been where to because they knew things were dead. This is what you would have like the roster shakeup, the draft. Because remember, used to be like the draft, then it would be like the Saudi show, then it would be Survivor Series or some sort of. Order that way, and because I remember you getting super frustrated because you had this roster split that really didn't come into play until December, even though it was like you know in introduced in October, but it's always been kind of like after SummerSlam where it feels like they're slowly putting the pieces together before they start cooking for you know the run to WrestleMania. And I'm wondering if that's why they moved Fastlane now to October, which is like when you're going to finally start seeing the stuff they're going to start doing. Because wasn't Fastlane the one that was like right before WrestleMania?
Oh God, I don't even know anymore. I feel like those have been moved around so much.
I think it was. I think that was the whole point was the Fastlane. We're on the Fastlane of WrestleMania.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So you know the fact that it's in October. I was like, okay, is this when we're really going to start, like, cooking? But
we get, like, in September and October, that's when they would, like, just bunch up pay-per-views, and we got, like, Night of Champions and Hell in a Cell and something else before Survivor Series and after SummerSlam. And,
And that's the thing, that they were all, like, you know, it was always a mess. I mean, I remember this part of the year I've always hated. But the thing is that now you have, you know, there is potentiality. There's a lot of potential there. Other names another name that came up that could come over and he's shiny and new and by bringing him over you might actually do something big with him is Bronson Reed was the name that popped into mind and Becky Lynch was the other one because Becky Lynch that would definitely
I mentioned her on Raw last I mentioned her as a possibility on my Raw post show earlier in the week I think everyone's focused on men but yeah you could totally send a comparable star over and have it be a woman.
Yeah, and that was the one I was thinking the most because on the woman's side because what really is there for her to do that's not Rhea Ripley, you know? So going up against Rhea Ripley, so I could see her, you know, jumping ship to the other side. So, those are some. I mean, I understand because like it feels like quiet, but you know, like I said, it's not quiet stagnant. It's quiet potential.
Yeah, it's quiet and it's unsettled, but it's a lot. I mean, the Judgment Day showing up on SmackDown, Lashley and the Prophets going face to face with them. Judgment Day dropping the Bloodline name twice this week, both on Raw and SmackDown. You got a red hot act in LA Knight. You've got Grayson Waller called up as an agitator. I don't know. Yeah, I think there's enough going on to keep me interested above my expectations, as Javier says, for a September stretch.
Yeah, it's not that like I wasn't interested. I did like the ending with the Judgment Day peace offering or whatever that was. I actually don't understand it, but I thought it was interesting. But you know what it is? Like, even
well, the
like
announcers
Bobby
don't
Lashley,
want you to understand it. You know, Cole said, what a turn of events. And Graves says, I don't know the meaning of this, but the battle lines are being drawn. They're being drawn. It's still in progress. And that's what I think they want us to be talking about and fans to be thinking about is, what does all this mean? Who makes the next move? Who's the alpha? Who's the heel? Who's the face? It wheels are in motion. But go ahead, Brad.
Yeah, but I feel like even like a Bobby Lashley, like has Bobby Lashley had a match since he was drafted to SmackDown in October? Has he? I was thinking about that. I was like, even a Bobby Lashley match, for instance, if it was Bobby Lashley versus Jey Uso at the end, and I'm not, you know, an AJ Styles hater by any means, but I just feel like the crowd, you know, doesn't view him in that top, you know, this is the guy who we want in the main event necessarily. I mean, I think they like him. I don't know, like, has Bobby Lashley had a match since he's joined SmackDown? I mean, he's a big draft pick.
Right, yeah. So, let's see, May 12th, he beat Austin Theory and Sheamus. But he's only done house shows since then.
Wow.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, like,
and that was the World Title Tournament.
It just feels like things are missing a little bit. I don't know. But, yeah, you're right. That world title tournament. That's right. He was in that. But, you know, what I would do with the LWO, I know you guys were just talking about it right before I got on. What I would do is you can totally keep the LWO thing intact, the theme song, the shirts, everything. I would have every single one of them, Del Toro, I don't know why I forget the other tag team guy's name, Santos, even Zelina, I would have every single one of them in one segment turn on Ray. I would have Zelina kicking him while he's down. I'd have Santos. I'd have them all doing crazy stuff to him. And then you can keep them as the LWO because even in their presentation now, like, yes, Ray's part of the LWO, but, you know, they use the song. And then when Ray comes in, it's Ray's song. You know, it's not there. You know, so it's not like Ray is like, oh, without him, we can't really have this faction. You know, you could still have a heel LWO faction. And, I mean, that's the way I would play it out. I would still, you know, keep this LWO thing going, but I would just have them all. I mean, Zelina's a great heel. Santos, I mean, seen him on NXT. He's a terrific heel, way better than he is in this role, in my opinion. And the tag team, too. So I would absolutely do that and maybe even bring Carlito in to side with Santos and them to make it like Ray against the world type of feeling with his belt. And how is he going to hang on to this? It would be very compelling. I think it would be very interesting. And Javier, on your suggestion of Becky, I know, Wade, you brought it up too. The only reason I don't think, and I think it's a great idea, I just don't think it's possible because of Seth and the baby and the travel that they do.
Yeah,
do not think, you know, I just do not think they'd want to be split up. I think that would be very tough. But it is a
unless
great
idea. Unless they're just sick of each other and want a break from each other.
Right, exactly.
Or they want to take...
Exactly, yeah.
Honestly, Brett, they want one of them home with the baby at all times. You know, I mean, I'm just playing counter argument, but they might just be like, we've got, you know, we have a few days together, but we'd always want one of us to be there for the baby.
Yeah, no, that could be depends on, you know, on how much Seth would want to be, you know, who knows. But regardless, I don't know, it just felt like something was missing to me tonight. I know that they had a dark match with Cody, which was probably something the fans were very excited about. But do you even know who he faced, Cody?
No, I didn't get any dark match results yet. Javier, have you seen any?
No, I haven't.
Yeah,
but no, that's, I mean, that's just it. I mean, by the way, one other thing on Dom. I loved it. Clearly they instructed him to stop doing the pausing thing where the crowd's getting to me and I'm saying, and mommy, you know, and then he turns his head and, you know, he can't finish his sentence. Clearly they instructed him to keep powering through that but I found that pausing to be really, really effective. And I feel like the crowd felt like we're really getting to this guy. Like, this is awesome. We want to do it more. Like, I feel like it puts more heel heat on him. I don't know how much more you can get than what we heard tonight, but in the same respect, I liked the pausing. I mean, but that booing tonight was raucous. I mean, that was like, if I came in from someone who never watched WWE before, I would say, this guy is like, wow, he must be the most evil villain in the whole thing. You know what I mean? You would have no idea. Like, and in a way he is, but it's just funny from where he was 14 months ago. And the LA Knight Paul Heyman thing was great too. I really thought that was a nice little run-in. My very last question is, do you think that they're preparing LA Knight as the next opponent for Roman Reigns? And I'll hang up and listen. And thank you guys.
Thanks, Fred. So when does LA Knight versus Roman make the most sense? Saudi Arabia, Survivor Series, at the Royal Rumble, so that you have the Rumble. You have, they might see Knight as a secondary opponent for Reigns. Fans might not, but WWE might. And so you could do LA Knight and Roman on the undercard while Cody's winning the Rumble or something along those lines. Javier, what options come to mind and what do you think is most likely?
Yeah, Rumble was not what I was thinking of because I think that the Saudi show would be too early. Not necessarily too early that you can't, you know, build towards something between the two of them, but it would be too much of a, okay, we built them up just to feed him to Roman, you know? And I think you want to, because he's not going to beat Roman, but I think you want to give, you want him to, him being LA Knight, you want him to leave that encounter with Roman still with momentum. And I think that if you do it too early, it's like, okay, yeah, here, you know, we're just going to feed him and then, you know, we'll move on from here. I think Rumble gives you enough time for him to get that kind of momentum. And, you know, that would be, it's not going to be really the main event per se, because it's the Rumble and that's kind of, you know, the Rumbles are co-main event with the main event anyway. So I think that would probably be the best position for that match.
All right, let's try Grant Detroit again. Wait for the switchboard to bring him on. Grant, are you there?
Yes.
Hey, Grant. What's on your mind about the match tonight?
Sorry about that. I was switching phones. But did it stand out to you all? Because y'all definitely covered one of my questions as far as LA Knight. But did it stand out of how they were weaving the story throughout the show? It seemed a little different than something that that they done in the past. Like you seen, like the Judgment Day, for instance. They brought up the bloodline in a promo, I think it might have been Raw or like a week or so ago, and then now they brought up the bloodline again, and it kind of continued the whole that story pretty much continued the whole show. Like, did it stand out to y'all at all?
I'm not sure what you're getting at. You're just saying, just did it stand out that they weaved it into the show?
No, that basically, like, it seemed like it was intentional like more so than before, that they just weaved this one story throughout the whole show. Like I never really seen them do that like recently, where everything, every segment related to the Bloodlines in some way, pretty much this whole show, yeah. If you notice.
Sure. Yeah, Javier, what do you think about that? I mean, we kind of saw it with Jay on Raw on Monday. I feel like they do that, and they've done it. But, yeah, I mean, it was a theme tonight, too.
Yeah, I think it stands out a little bit more tonight because they haven't done it as hard in the last couple weeks. I was talking about SmackDown specifically because they did the same thing with Jay on, like I said, on Jay on Raw. I think it stood out a little bit more just because it felt like everybody was involved with two things. Like Jimmy is involved with AJ Styles, but also whatever's going on with the Judgment Day at the end. While the Bloodlines also involved with the LA Knight, you know, touching upon the LA Knight. It didn't feel like it was just one thing, but like it felt like there was a lot of like knots on the show, as you know, because in most cases, what they do regularly is basically choose like what your storyline is, and like on SmackDown, it's usually been like the Bloodline, and you know, someone trying to get in to talk to Roman Reigns or Heyman showing up like three or four times, you know, setting up whatever's going on in the main event. But this one just was like it felt like two people touched together, but then that person, you know, hit somebody else, and then that person hit somebody else. So it felt more like a chain of events. So I kind of understand what he's saying.
Yeah. Grant, anything else you want to add?
No, I think touched on my other thing that I had wanted to bring up that, you know, did it stand out to you all about, you know, the L.A. Knight and Paul Heyman interaction. You know, it was brief, but, you know, it just was something there that they wanted you to pay attention to. But other than that, nope, that's all I have for the night.
All right, cool. Thanks, Grant. Appreciate it. If you want to get in late in the show here, you can, 347-215-8558, 347-215-8558. If you call, push 1, if you want to flag yourself on our switchboard so we know you want to be on the show. Jay from Michigan, you are up next. Jay, welcome. What's your mind about SmackDown tonight?
Hey, y'all. Thanks for having me. What's up, Javier, Way? Hope everything's well with you guys. I wanted to say I think that the callers have done an excellent job tonight, and my comments are more to their comments. There was a guy who called right before Kyle. I felt like he made a lot of the points and cases where I'm a little bit conflicted right now, man, because I think WWE is doing, you know, as a whole, I think they are on fire, you know, and Wade, you speak to it a lot, but and I disagree with what he said as far as they're not being, you know, top talent, because I think the WWE is, like, littered with top talent right now. But I am inclined to agree that, you know, Roman being champion right now may be hurting them a little bit just because there are so many. Like, I just think back, and I'm a little 50-50 when it comes to, like, whether Cody should have won at Mania or not. But if Cody wins at Mania, I think there's so many heels that he can go up against. You don't need to do two titles. You can have him defending on both shows. I'm sure he would have loved that. And as a babyface who now is a fighting champion, coming from the guy who, you know, had become a part-time special attraction, I think that would have played well. But I think that when it comes to the Bloodline as well, man, I do feel like they're just kind of running on fumes, man. I went to SummerSlam, and I remember, like, the second Jimmy turned on Jay, I just looked back at one of my friends who was there with me, and I said, they're running out of crap to do. And that's how I felt, and I think that this Jimmy stuff is just, like, so disjointed. It's so all over the place. And, again, from the second that Cody lost to Roman at Mania, any smart fan knew that we were going to run this back at 40. But how we're getting there, it just feels like, it just does not feel very
interesting. You know what I mean? I think that a lot of things are just being done from the bloodline perspective just to be done to kill time. But I do love the interjection of having the Judgment Day on there, because I love Judgment Day and putting them on the show, and then like this faction warfare that they're creating. I think that's exciting, and I think that can be like the centerpiece of SmackDown, because I do think we'll get Roman and AJ at the Saudi show, but you know, there's nothing believable going on the championship side for SmackDown, but I do enjoy the faction warfare that it seems like they're setting up, especially with having the Judgment Day be active now that they're undisputed champs. So how do you guys feel just about the things that I said? And, you know, I've heard you guys, like, wax poetically about the state of SmackDown. So just kind of, I guess, give me some feedback so that I have some clarity.
Yeah, so, Javier, we've had enough people bring this up tonight, including Jay. Should Cody, where we are right now, would it have been better for Cody to win? What are the pros and cons? Second question, you can take them in either order, is would it have been better to do something different with the bloodline so we didn't get to the point that we get in some, say, great TV series where they go one or two or three seasons too many, past the point where people love it and they start to grow impatient, or they wonder if they're stretching it out for money, even if there isn't a natural story to tell. Cover both of those in either order.
Yeah, I mean, that was the way I was actually going to phrase it before you brought it up, the you know, like a TV show, you know, like I'll use an example. The Supernatural TV show was built around five seasons, and it told a succinct story. It kind of, you know, hit the big climax at the end of the fifth, and then they did about like 10 more seasons after that. I don't know, I lost count. And it was kind of the thing. It was just. You know, that sixth season was rough because you already hit like a final like ending, and I could totally see that Cody winning at WrestleMania would have been like the capper. You know, my concern was always, you know, are they getting too greedy pushing this another year? Can they continue, you know, going, you know, how they're doing? I mean, I originally voiced my concerns back for what was the Clash of the Castle? Was that the one with Drew McIntyre?
Yep.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, because I know that Todd was very, you know, like harsh on that, but I at that point was saying, you know, because I was thinking where we are today, post SummerSlam with Roman, was where we were going to be back then. And I think if we were, you know, Roman was around a lot more than I thought he was going to be. But if he were as absent as he's been lately, I think would have had the same situation with Drew McIntyre, saying that Drew McIntyre should have won at the castle. Just like a lot of people saying, you know, Cody should have won on WrestleMania. Now, I trust them enough that they can heat it up, but the problem is that on these TV shows, even when it starts getting good again, once you kind of like, you know, not necessarily jump the shark, but once you lost that interest because you hit that jumping off point, I think it is hard to get it back. So I have faith that they might, because so far they've been very well in doing what they've been doing. But I could totally see like the jumping off points being Jimmy doing what he did, where it's like, okay, now we're just, you know, stretching this out. I totally get that. You know, I just, you know, I'm still invested. I tend to stay with my TV shows for way past their sell by date. So,
yeah.
But I could totally understand. You know, I'm sticking with it. That's why I've been like positive on it. I'm sticking with it, but you know, I totally understand. It's not like people who were complaining about the Roman Reigns storyline this time last year, that is like, dude, it's, you know, what are you talking about? You know, I could totally get it. I also think that, you know, I think they realize it too, because you know, some of the stories that had come out were that they're expecting the Judgment Day to pick up the slack with Roman not being around. And that's a big ask. And I think Judgment Day is, you know, doing incredibly well, but it's still a major ask. And I do think overall, I also understand some of the commentary today was, you know, it's feeling like it's lacking in star power, you know, because I think all of that like adds to it. So I think with like Athena being, you know, more heavily involved on SmackDown in the coming weeks, if you bring a Drew McIntyre, I think it will better even out. Because there's also like some stuff on Raw that some people are not getting, it, you know, they're like disappearing, like Ciampa, you know, shows up every now and then, has one match and then disappears for a bit. That could use more space over on Raw. So I think we're, you know, that you know, I understand the misgivings. I just have faith right now. They haven't, you know, let me down. We'll revisit this in a couple of weeks.
All right. Let's go back to Jay for any follow-up. Jay, anything you want to add or respond to there?
Yeah, I think WWE was just so invested in, I mean, they've always been invested in Roman being the top guy, and they finally got him there, and I just don't think they want to let go of that. I think they were dug in so hard on Roman being, you know, having the title for 1,000 days, which I think that's the primary reason why Cody didn't win. Like, I just think they wanted to get to 1,000 days, and I don't think that they had like a great deal of things, you know, in the you know, coming up the pipeline, because there's not a lot of story left to tell. So, you know, I always envisioned the group losing the titles would be the like the pinnacle of. Well, not the pinnacle, but I always envisioned when the group lost all the titles that would, like, be the downfall and everything would start to come out at that point. But by the Usos losing and Roman retaining, I just think that we've just been in a holding pattern all year until we get back to Mania, and then we can tell the story, you know, that we probably could have told this past year or this year right now with where the Bloodline is going. Because it's just not interesting to me, man. It's not intriguing, and the Bloodline has been so well done. You know, the confliction of Jay made sense.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm being a little long, but I'll stop.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying, and I think they're cognizant there's people thinking what you're thinking in large numbers, and I'm more intrigued than you are with the fresh blood of Judgment Day being there, and Lashley with a more serious, less jovial and unserious version of the Street Profits tonight versus Monday night, which was, I think, a step in the right direction. It's like sometimes Ford and Dawkins can't help themselves, but tonight they did, and I think there was a more of a sense of a dignified transition to a different stage that pleases the Lashley character more. So I think there's enough going on. You had LA Knight to the mix, a happy accident, you know, that wasn't really part of their plans that they seem to be working in. I'm just higher than you are on it, even if it's not at a peak moment. But part of what makes WrestleMania season special is the fact that September isn't WrestleMania season. It's a chance to see them try some other things. And I think they're trying some other things. Word? Yeah, sure, Jay.
I'm not down, you know what I mean? I'm just a bit conflicted. Like I said, I'm into, like, the faction warfare, and I'm into because I you know, I opened by saying I think that the talent is deeper than it's ever been, really. So there are so many great acts that I'm not just – I'm only really down on the Bloodline and where that is and, like, where our championship scene stands. But everything else to me for WWE is just, you know, thriving. So I'm with you, but I'm just a little conflicted on the Bloodline stuff.
Sure, sure. All right, very good. Jay, good to hear from you as always.
Thanks. Good to be heard from. You guys have a good night.
Awesome, thanks. Yep. All right. Javier, I'll throw to you for anything that you want to bring up from the show that I and the callers have not yet that might be in your notes that you might want to talk about.
Well, I mean, one thing I wanted to bring up that I haven't in the show, which is a general thing, is I've been digging the commentary, which I traditionally have hated. I mean, Cole, for one, is like, I think it's the best Cole that I've heard in a long time. I like the fact that he's like, calling out BS when he sees it, and instead of being like the neutral, I don't want to take a side on things. I think that, you know, that's important. I think that having him there, I think having Cole as an intermediary between Graves and what's his face, has it, it, it's because I mean back when it was just the two of them on Raw, it you know sometimes like you know Graves seemed like a bit harsh. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
You know, and I think this has you know having Cole there in between has helped that a lot. So yeah, I've really dug the commentary overall. They feel more freer. They feel free like to laugh every now and then, take a joke. So I've really enjoyed the commentary.
All right, let me go to an email from Chris from Oklahoma. He goes, so I watched SmackDown and I can't call in, but I do have an opinion on Jimmy Uso. Besides the interaction with John Cena, this is the only interaction besides the one where Jay quit that we got anything from him. And then he's trying to get back in with Roman and Solo. I know he's a heel, and his reasoning for turning on Jay was because he didn't want him to become Roman. But come on, there's got to be a gap missing, and I don't know what it is. And, yeah, I mean, it goes kind of full circle back to the original point. Jay goes, I don't want my – or Jimmy goes, I don't want Jay, you to turn into Roman. But then a couple of weeks later, Roman, I want to be with you again. I mean, is that – too simple and unfair? Can you square that, you know, storyline-wise, that Jimmy wants to be with Roman, but he doesn't want Jay to be like Roman?
Well, in life, I mean, you may hate your job, but you're not going to leave your job. So,
yeah.
You know, it's a safe thing. He may resent what Reigns has done, sees himself, you know, so he leaves, sees himself on the cold, and I'm like, man, really did like that house. You know, that happens in real life. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, and we'll see whether, you know, whether he, that's the thing. We don't know how he's going to react to the next step of the story. So, you know, maybe he, you know, comes back as a good little puppy, you know, keeping him with a little big dog, alpha dog, you know, thing with Rant. You know, he goes back, you know, when he realizes that the grass isn't greener on the other side, you know, yeah, this is like, you know, not good character trait for Jimmy to do, but,
right, yeah.
You know, if he does that, that is, you know, babyface, or he gets an opportunity and then decides not to do it, and he shows that he has some moral scruples. So, you know, I mean, but that'll determine when we get there. You know, they made Jay someone for you to care about, so I'm going to give them the chance to do the same thing with Jimmy.
He also, Chris also says, I can remember the days when they didn't give away the results of events at the beginning of shows and just showed still shots. I was out of town. I didn't watch the PLE last weekend, but after tonight, I feel I did with a video package. What did you think about the opening video package and the way WWE is I think going into their shows with confidence that we can take something that happened in the past and do a 2-3, I think tonight it was a 4-minute video package highlighting it and not worry about losing everybody. It's not sort of that desperation of we got to go right to the ring or right to the bell or right to a big star. We're going to give you a video package, but their production team is so good. They make it pretty compelling. So your thoughts on Chris bringing that up, and if you noticed anything about tonight's video package at the top that stood out.
Well, I mean, I've noticed that they've been showing more than they used to before. And, yeah, I think confidence is a good word. You know, and I think it's because they've tightly interwoven, as one of the callers mentioned, they've tightly interwoven storylines throughout the show. So you're interested in seeing what's going to come later also. So, you know, so keep your interest throughout the entire thing. And a lot of the cases, you know, and, you know, particularly if you're going to be, that's the other thing, because storylines are building off of each other. So, yeah, let's put the stuff on Payback as like, you know, like when you watch a TV show, you know, previously on. So you have an idea of what's going on and the, you know, the confidence that people would, you know, either side or would go back and see it or, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yep. I think. What do you think of how they're using Grayson Waller so far, and what do you think of the Grayson Waller Austin Theory chemistry?
I do like them being put together because they're two different types of D-bags.
Yeah.
So I kind of like that. I think it helps Austin Theory in the long run. Just because Waller's such a good talker, you know, He's just like, you know, he's
delighted in everything he says.
Exactly. And yeah. He like believes his bullshit. Like I think yeah. only Heyman might, you know, you know, so
yeah.
that's, you know, that is what's cool. You know, that's what I like about the character. And I think it was mentioned a while back. Like I think last time I co-hosted that someone was saying, oh, you know, he's lost all his matches. I'm like, I don't even notice because that's not, you know, even though he might have lost all his he's always saying, you know, oh, I'm giving the rub to all these legends. That's, again, this goes back to my mentioned commentary. You know, Cole shot back saying, you know, you could say that those legends were giving you the rub.
Yes.
You know, and that pushback was great. And, you know, and then he like, nah, that's not it. So, yeah, I thought he's doing really good. And then, you know, so when Theory shows up, and then people are like, you know, boo, you know, there's more of a, you know, even more of a loathing towards him, which eventually will translate to, you know, being, you know, more effective heel. It's sort of like on the situation, you know, like how, you know, Dom, you know, has improved, but, you know, where he is now compared to where he was a year ago, you know, in terms of how the fans feel about him, where he's become a delight to see work as opposed to, you know, here's nepotism walking in. I think you could do something along the same track with this this team up. But yeah, I liked it, and I think there was a second question there.
A second point, second question.
Yeah.
No, I just asked about Waller and Theory together.
Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah. What do you think's going on with Styles, with Anderson and Gallows and Meechan? Like how far does Styles frustration with them go and Anderson go, and you shouldn't have messed with the bloodline anyway? Is this sort of a 2-3 week story arc, and it just sort of we're seeing why they did it, it's not a big deal, or is this something bigger that could result in actually Styles breaking away?
I don't think it's a big deal. I think that what they're going for, particularly because I mean AJ Styles did overreact with Jimmy a bit. I think what they're doing is that they're introducing us to grumpy Uncle Allen version of AJ Styles, because you know he particularly like I love how the way that match started too, where he was just like, you know I'm going to teach you a lesson, Jimmy. You know,
yep.
So that's kind of what it feels like. Is he's like, you know, get off my lawn is kind of like how he's coming across. So I think that's more of that.
Yeah. Yep.
Because I think we can actually refer to him as uncle too. So.
Very good. Anything else, Javier, you want to bring up before we wrap up here?
I do think that AJ Styles was over, because it felt like he would have been the third biggest reaction, because when he came on screen, it was noticeable in the building that, you know, it was noticeable that, you know, while they were doing that skit, the people, you know, chanting AJ Styles. So I thought that was also – I think he was the third most over from what I could, you know, tell from the TV. Anything else? I probably have something else I'm going to forget. I'm going to regret later, but I think that's it.
All right. Cool. All right. Well, we'll sign off there. Thank you, Javier, for being co-host tonight. Good conversation. A lot moving parts, wheels in motion. We don't know what it all means yet. The announcers are even underlining that. But I'm intrigued. I think what happens with LA Knight, what happens with Judgment Day and the Lashley faction and the Bloodline, Jimmy and the dynamic with him, and it's Roman's call and Heyman's intermediary. I think there's a lot of cool moving parts right now. So I'm looking forward to next week. Go ahead.
Ultimately, I do understand if people are frustrated, you know, that is, you know, understandable, but, you know, I could see that point of view, but I am looking forward to see what happens next.
Sounds great. All right. Thanks to our listeners. Thanks to our callers. Thanks to our emailers. Thanks to everybody. And, well, everybody listening. I don't know if I want to thank everybody who didn't listen. But thank you. And we'll talk to you all next time.
Good night.